morning. Man. I feel like it's one of those mornings where I just don't want to say anything and ruin it, you know? I do want to let you know, too, that
the altar's always open. And if the Lord's dealing with you or about something, and I'm not trying to prompt a response, but I'm just saying that it's always open, that you don't have to wait till the end of service to come forward if the Lord's touched your heart about something and want to talk to Him. So there's that. Get your Bibles out this morning. There's a thought I'd like to try and bring to light this morning. Maybe a generation ago that, you know, there were little phrases or whatever. I put one in the bulletin this morning of don't get the cart before the horse. What does that mean? Well, the horse pulls the cart. If you have the cart before the horse, that's not going to go as well. You can visually see that, right? You get that. Now, we don't use a lot of carts or horses these days, so, you know, some of those phrases have gone by the wayside. But it certainly is a thought that there's an order by which we do things. And there's a way by which things go, and that's no different than with God. God has a way in which He does things personally in our life. Now, God works differently in each of our lives. I understand that. And He speaks to us, but He does certain things similarly to everybody. And He speaks to our hearts. And even this morning, we were studying again and through the Scriptures in our Sunday school class, and it brought us to John chapter 14, 15, 16, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, informing us that the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And it is God that leads us and teaches us and guides us. You know, as Christians, we ought to desire certain things. We ought to desire to be like the Lord. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, yesterday, 31 degrees, wind was whipping out of the west. And so last week, Mr. King came and he worked on the upstairs furnace, but just didn't have enough time to work on this outside furnace, and it just was not resetting like it should. So he came out yesterday for like 3 hours, and he was out there. And now it's nice and cozy warm. Remember Wednesday night? It wasn't cozy warm. It was about 62, 63, and here right now it's probably close to 70, 71. So I am thankful for people that, again, just volunteer and do stuff like that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Let's pray. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for... Lord, I'm thankful that You meet with us. I'm thankful in the middle of nowhere, You come down and touch our hearts. You touch our deepest needs, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the singing. I'm thankful for the worship. I'm thankful that God, You would even consider this place and all of it. And Lord, I do ask that You'd be honored and glorified. I pray that You'd be pleased. And Lord, I pray that You'd use this message in a mighty way today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, it says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." There ought to be a desire for Christians to have godliness. What is godliness? By definition, it means God-likeness. So, well, I can't make mountains. I can't part the rivers. Please understand. Let's, sometimes we get so philosophical that we talk ourselves out of what is right. Let's think for a second. Is that really what God wanted us to do? Is that really what God desired in us? That we would be so like God that we would be gods? No. But He does desire in us that we'd be godly. And that we would give attention to godliness. It's worth desiring. You know, certain occupations require more than others. Say, what do you mean? Well, I could walk into McDonald's and fill out an application or do it online, and within maybe a couple weeks, I could have a job at McDonald's. But if I wanted to be a doctor, like a real doctor, not like an online doctor, but like a real doctor, able to do real surgeries, and people live through them, I would have to go to school for a very long time. 7 years of schooling. And then you practice medicine. And you know what? That takes some commitment and desire. Because studying all that is hard. It's difficult. It takes a long time. And you got to have a personal drive, a personal something inside that says, you know what? Right now I don't feel like doing that. And I have a cousin who's studying to be a doctor. Say, wow, that's really cool. Not really. She's really zero fun. Why? Because all she does is study. At family get-together, she comes late because she was studying and leaves early because she has to go study. Why? Because she wants to be a doctor. She has a desire in her heart. She has a drive within her to do that. Well, that changes what she does on a daily basis. What happened if we desired godliness? What would that change for us? What would that change? How would that change our approach to our day-to-day life? How would that change our approach to our interaction with others? Our study? Our efforts? Are you like the Lord? Do you have a desire for godliness? Tonight we're going to be talking about the ways of the world and how dangerous it is. But this morning we will speak on the blessings of godliness. And you do understand that godliness will hide you from a world of problems. It would just be a shelter to you. How many of you wish, as an elder, maybe you're over 40 or maybe you're even just over 20, said, man, I wish I would have got in on Christ a lot earlier. Yeah, sure. Why? Why is that? Why do people say, why do they have regrets? Why do they go, man, I wish I didn't tamper with the world. I wish I gave attention to this verse a lot sooner in my life. Why? Because the ways of the world are hard. The ways of God are blessings beyond measure. Do you understand the conflicts that you have in your life today? The conflicts that you have in your life today are because you chose sin over godliness. It's true. Your biggest problems are because of sin. So my question this morning is, do you desire godliness? Is there any filter in your life? Is there anything that says, no, I don't want to do, no, I'm sorry, I got to come to the family thing a little bit late. Why? Because I'm trying to be a doctor. Is there anything in your life that says, no, I'm just not going to participate in that. Why? Because I want to be godly. I want to be godly. Micah 6:8. I love these verses. Go to Micah 6:8. Should have given you a running start. Micah 6:8. If you're not there, you could just pretend. Found it. Micah 6:8 says this, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Look at this. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. He showed us that. I know what godliness is. I don't have to wonder. I don't. Why? Again, referring back to our Sunday school class this morning, in John chapter 14, 15, 16, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, I have the Spirit of truth inside of me. I'm able to discern between what is truth and error. So therefore I can be godly. And I have this desire of godliness. I ought to have a desire of godliness. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. How about a demand? Not only a desire for godliness, but a demand for godly purity. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. The other night we stopped at Cronies. Some of you like Cronies. It's not cheap, Cronies. It's tough to get out of there with less than $50 worth of pizza. But we stopped at Cronies and got some pizza and wings. Wings are where they get you. I'm just warning you. You'd be better to buy lots of pizzas than wings. The wings are expensive, but they're good. They're so good. Anyways, okay. We're talking about desire this morning. Whew. We're sitting there and my son had a cup of water. I went to go drink his cup of water, and inside of there, it looked like he dunked his pizza right in his water. I was like, no. That was repulsive to me. It was disgusting. It was gross. You know, we have five kids, so cups are constantly on our counter. Maybe it's like that at your house too. Constantly on your counter. Like 5 minutes ago, they got a drink, but they have to get another new cup and put it there. So we're trying to teach them, hey, you can reuse these things. These are available to you. And one kid grabbed the cup the other day, and it was murky because they had milk in it, and then they put water. I'm like, no, just it's we'll wash that. We don't have to do that. It's I can't even eat anything right now. It's just ugh. Why? Because purity is good. You have a dog that's purebred versus not. Whew. Price goes up a little bit. If we have a cup of water and I tell you, there might or might not be poison. Just not worth it to me. We desire things that are pure. In Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God demands we be pure. It's not like, oh, If you get an opportunity today, hey, if there's some time in your schedule, if you can get rid of the filthiness and live holy, that'd be great. No, He demands that of us. We ought to have a desire towards godliness. There ought to be a demand upon our own personal lives to live purely. Have you ever handled something that's pure, dirty? You know what? When we're working on vehicles or something, you get your hands dirty, right? And everything you touch after that gets dirty. Well, that's the same way our walk with the Lord. You get dirty, you get filthy. You know what that means? Everything I come in contact with, I'm defiling. Clean up. There ought to be a demand in your own personal life that says, no, I'm not going to do this. I demand some purity in my life. Why? Because I don't want to infect everybody around me. The very chapter back, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? None. Can have both. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? They're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Be pure. The demand in your life for purity. Well, let's see how close we can get to the line. Oh. Ought to be a godly demand in your life for purity. Come out from among them and be separate. And touch not the unclean thing. Why not? Because you touch the unclean thing and you're going to affect everybody around you. Working on the car, you get motor oil on your hand, grab the door handle, that's dirty. You can't wash your hands, it's difficult. Elbows, knees up on the counter trying to turn on the water. Right? Daddy, no. Unclean. Is that where we want to stay then? When you're dirty, you have no problem getting more dirty. All right? And tackle football. You're out there. First time you go down, it's like, man. Right? Here's now. Dirty, might as well just go head to toe. Isn't that the way with the world too? You're dirty a little bit, might as well go all the way in. Remove all filters. Remove. And that's what we do. There ought to be a demand for purity. Peter chapter 5. Desire for godliness, the demand for purity. Peter 5. The Father, I naturally repeat. So if you don't, I'm just going to hear it again. Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter 5, 8 tells us this. Sober. Not only ought to we desire for godliness, demand for purity, but we ought to deal soberly. Some of our people around. Event. Driving, remembered, and he pulled over. Something he asked me was, empty egg cartons and I'm bringing it back to the seat. Why? Are you sober, sir? Strange question to ask. Sober. Drinking. Is that what it's asking? You had any Jack Daniels, sir? Verse 8, is that the question? Sober. Be serious. Be affected by outside influence. What should we do? Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, admonishing. Pay attention. Be serious about some things. Be
deal soberly. Watch. Chapter 10, verse 7. End of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. How do I get serious about the things of God? Those verses. Armed by how Proverbs chapter 20. Kindness of mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby, why? Will mess up. I'm being lied to. Be deceived. Alcohol, I'm not by anything. Like,
themselves into thinking that they can handle or attempt these things without the Lord Himself. The world is filled with people that are trying to do right without Christ. There's some great organizations out there. Doctors Without Walls, the Red Cross. They go out and they do all these wonderful things. And I'm here to tell you, you will not be godly, you will not be pure, and you will certainly not be sober without the Lord Jesus Christ active in your life. And you can try, but you're going to fail every single time. I'm here to help you in saying that you cannot have the grace of God. That the grace of God makes these things possible. And it's appeared to all men. All of them. There's not one over another. So now we look at Romans chapter 3. Say, Pastor, I just had this very sinking feeling that that was your introduction. No, those were my 3 points. This is the conclusion. Oh, okay, we feel better. Hypothetically, Pastor, how long do conclusions take? Yep. We're going to read Romans chapter 3. We're going to read 20 to 24, all right? Romans 3, 20 to 24. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. See what that just said? By you trying to clean yourself up, you'll never clean yourself up enough. You need God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. And there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. That our salvation gives us an opportunity to be godly, to be pure, and to be sober. And you can't have it. You can't have it the other way. You won't. You will not be godly, you will not be pure, and you certainly will not be sober without the grace of God. It's the prerequisite. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I need to clean up before I can be saved. No, you're trying to work something out. You can't do it. You can't do it. Look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. We're almost done. Romans chapter 11 verse 6. And if by grace, then, is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace, he says. He's like, if you could somehow get grace through works, grace is no longer defined as grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You're changing definitions. You're getting the cart before the horse. Hey, you wanna fix things without grace. You can't do it. You can't. So many times we knock on people's doors and we try and tell them about the Lord and they're like, no, I just got too much sin in my life. I just got too many problems. Hey, He's there to fix those. That's what He does. Well, I just got to get some things in order. You can't get anything in order. You're going to mess it up. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Christ is the key. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under law, but under grace. Now, because I am saved, I am free from the bonds of sin. Therefore, now I can desire godliness. I can demand purity on my life. And I can deal with myself soberly. Because the bonds of sin have been broken. by the power of grace. That's beautiful. That's absolutely wonderful. Because I had nothing to do with it. I can't mess it up. Because it's contingent on God, not on me. So I can come to God in my mess, and He can help me. And He can give me the things that I've wanted all my life. To be at peace and right with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Last verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. What is that? Godly, pure, and sober. But without the grace of God, I am none of those things. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And God could take a murderer and turn him into a saint. Unreal. That He could take a drunk and turn him into something pure and godly. Only God does things like that. Say, I'm fighting, I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I need some help. Rely on the grace of God. Come to the Lord. Say, I can't, I'm too dirty. Get in your cart before the horse. You need Him. Without Him, you can't do it. Let's all stand.